Welcome to the Weaving Web of Consciousness podcast, a space for people with open hearts and minds who are on a journey of expanding consciousness. My name is Marta, and I will be sharing with you my conscious healing journey. Additionally, with my best friend Anna, we'll be exploring the great conscious transformation happening in the world. Join us on an adventure of learning the new ways of being and building bridges across the many concepts that truly need connection as we are building a better world for all beings. And let's learn together how to embrace our humanity with all of its ups and downs so that we can have as good life as possible. Hello, everyone. My name is Marta.
And I am Anna.
And this is Weaving Web of Consciousness podcast. Yes. Welcome after a little break. It's been a while since we have recorded something together.
That is correct. And that's my responsibility.
Yeah, it has been a little, not only yours, it has been a little bit of a disturbance coming our way. Often mm-hmm. when we think we really can make it on a specific day, something really comes up.
True. It has been quite a journey this summer for me. And I think also for you, Marta, but our listeners know it from your previous solo episodes. I don't have the same type of experience, but it felt like jungle nevertheless. Even if I wasn't in a real jungle.
Yeah, I feel like I am on several different journeys at the same time. So, yeah.
Yeah, awesome.
Yeah. So today is not ideal either. We both have had meetings before and have meetings right after this recording. So we will be sharp on time this time. And I thought, let's do it anyway. Let's just do it. Maybe it even helps us and makes us feel better.
Yeah, I think the feeling of accomplishment that we finally are here, the two of us, will help me mentally. But yeah, it's just like in a radio, we will have to make it. That's all.
Yeah. And today the topic is actually really great for that beginning of the conversation, because the topic today is dimensions of responsibility.
Ooh, yeah. Easy peasy lemon squeezy.
Yeah, such a beautiful topic and one that is very, very close to my heart. And I feel like I'm really ready to have that conversation, mm-hmm. that like diving into what actually responsibility mean in the different contexts. That's why dimensions of responsibility, because we will take it in a few different levels. We'll discuss the personal responsibility. We will talk a little bit about social responsibility in terms of responsibility in our participation in mm-hmm. social life locally, in social communities, as well as society as a whole and on a country level. And I would also like to talk about our responsibility in terms of even broader context of what's happening on the earth.
Yeah, the collective responsibility.
Yeah. So let's see how far we can go with these different layers, because each of these layers can be quite profound. So let's start with the first level, with yourself. The closest level, meaning the individual responsibility. So, Anna, I will now say how I feel and understand responsibility so that you have a moment to prepare yourself.
Oh, wow. I got a preparation moment. That's yes. new.
Yeah.
More stressful now, because before I could just blame it on, oh, I wasn't prepared. Now I actually can prepare. Okay, hit it. Hit me yes. with that responsibility.
So that you can tell us how you feel about mm-hmm. responsibility. What does responsibility mean to you? So for me, responsibility
comes really nicely wrapped up in a word itself, response ability, meaning ability to respond. And if you look at that word, I think it gives pretty much away. Okay, this is how I understand my responsibility. It's my own ability to respond in all the possible situations. It's my own ability to respond to my own emotions. It is also taking that full responsibility to in terms of my actions and behaviors. And I would really, really like to take it in a more nuanced way, because sometimes in this self-development or spiritual world, it can be taken very black and white in terms of you create everything. You are the creator of your full experience. You have 100% responsibility for all that is happening with your life, within you, and so on. And this can be both empowering if taken in the right way, as well as can give quite a nice field for self-berating and self-devaluation in terms of what I have all the ability to respond. I have full responsibility for how my life looks like. And here I am in a work meeting and I get so pissed off. I am not able to control my emotions and so on. Like, what's wrong with me? Why can't I take this full responsibility for my emotions and so on? So I would like to have a little bit of nuanced conversation about that. And here I would like to, move it over to you, Anna. How do you feel responsibility? What does it mean to you?
Yeah, I actually would say that the way you explain the world, the word, the ability to respond, it didn't really resonated with me back in a day, but now it actually does, because the ability to respond means that you also are able to put yourself a little bit in the shoes of an observer. People tend to believe that life happens to them. So actually, I'm not sure if this is the right, I wanted to say geographic term, grammatic term, but many people say that things happen to me. I cannot do anything about this. I am in these circumstances. I don't know, in this work, in this country, in this family, in this relationship. And the blaming circumstances, the victim mindset then is enhanced. But once you take two steps back and you start to observe the situations and you actually realize you have the ability to respond, meaning you can consciously evaluate the situation and actually will take an action, that you always have a choice to do either this or that, even in your mind. And actually, that's the most powerful thing, because sometimes we think that, okay, those are situations that are completely out of our control, but the way we respond mentally to it, and if we decide to either just, I don't know, do something against our values or stick with our values, that is actually the ability to respond, even in the worst, the darkest hours, you know, what do we stick to? So it actually speaks to me quite loudly and beautifully in my heart and in my head. So I like it. I like that it actually means you have the ability to respond. Following on what you said, absolutely, I think it can go into this totally unnecessarily toxic levels of you are responsible for everything that ever happened to you. In some sense, we could agree on that, but we are also here imperfect human beings without all the knowledge. So, for example, you know, you can go to a people who are working with karmic things, right? And then they will tell you, well, you took it on yourself before you came into this world. Let's say that is the scenario. Well, yes, but I don't remember that. I'm here kind of a player level one. I'm just an amateur. I'm maybe now cracking it up. So it cannot be that you also have to have an awareness to have the ability to respond. So you cannot respond to absolutely everything without that knowledge. Some people like to tie diseases to responsibility. You know, you are sick, you are, it's because of your actions, because what you did. And maybe in some sense that's true, but what do you do when you are not at the level, when you are aware of all these connections? I'm not aware of everything. You are not aware. You cannot give someone the full responsibility for everything that happens to them if they do not have an awareness of the whole kind of setup. So I totally agree with you that this can go into a very, very dark and toxic directions. You know, you are responsible. Oh, you are miserable at your job. You are responsible. You know, do something. Sometimes people are not there. They are not there yet. They have to work for years to be able to take that responsibility. So thank you for mentioning that, because I think it's super important.
Yeah, I just remember having that conversation with one of my very, very close friends who was literally crying because she has recently taken some form of a course, I believe, that was really going into you have full, absolute, complete responsibility for how you're, I think it was around relationships and whether that's relationships at work or at home, it's like 100% on you. And the message was delivered, I believe, or at least taken in quite this like rough, you know, you have 100% responsibility. If things are not looking the way you would like them to look, it's on you. You know, you fix it, you do it, and so on. And I remember she was really, really like, what's wrong with me? I have been working with that concept for a few years, and I simply have that area in my life where I have a heartbreak from the relationship that I have. And why can't I change it? You know, what's wrong with me? Why can't I be Zen every single time? You know, it's like I've been working with it for a few years now. And it's very true for me as well. Like when I met the concept of responsibility as ability to respond, it was so empowering. I was like, wow, it takes me out from the victim mode completely. It was such a positive experience for me. Suddenly, in many situations, instead of like, why is this happening to me? And so poor and blaming others, I would have this wonderful like, wow, why is this happening for me? What can I learn from it? You know, I had this very positive love affair with ability to respond, and people could act like shitheads towards me, and I would be like, wow,
another learning.
Happened? Yes, another. you have seen that, Anna, and you were like, Marta, oh my God, this person is really toxic. Come on, wake up. And I would be like, no, I'm learning from it. You know, like I have learned this and this and that, and you know, I can transform it. Yeah, I did. Right. So there is a lot of positive learning in it. Don't get me wrong. And I think it has been extremely empowering and really, really freeing. Like sometimes I would be freaking out at home. I have three boys and some moments at home would be very, very rough. So I would be alone and would be getting crazy from amount of things that are happening and still need to happen. And I would be like, hey, I actually have a choice here. That maybe goes a little bit into free will choice. I have a choice to walk out, or I have the ability to respond to this situation. You know, I have so many different options. I can respond in so many different ways. So it would be largely empowering. And then I, after a while, I have started to see that part of me that would twist the concept, this kind of manipulative part of my mind, like, hey, nothing has changed. You have full ability to respond. You have a full creator's ability for your life. And here you are in the same situation over and over again. Like, hey, what's wrong with you? And I would really, really use it against myself, you know, and I would stop blaming others. But then I would go back to myself. If I have the full responsibility, therefore, that means that there, you know, I am the one to blame if things
everything
are not...
is your fault. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I remember having this like addition, because it's in layers, right? The learning comes to you in layers. And I remember this time when I just came to it. Okay. Sometimes the pressure at home and how things look like in relation to my children, they cause that I scream, for example, and then I beat myself up like, oh my God, I was not able to respond in a way I would like to. I yelled at my kids, you know, and I would be going into self-berating. And then I was like, okay, how can I apply this full ability to respond in this situation? Okay, the ability to respond in this situation means that I take responsibility for how I behaved. I sit down with my kids. I have a conversation about it. First of all, I'm kind towards myself. Like, okay, that wasn't great. You really don't want to be a mother who screams at children. You have been screaming less and less and less. You barely ever do it anymore. And sometimes it happens. So you take full responsibility because it was not the way you would like it to be. You sit down with your children and you take the topic about what happened. Apologize, first of all, to kids. I am really sorry that I have screamed at you. That's not something that I want to do. And, you know, this is also taking responsibility. It doesn't mean that you have to be a perfect, I don't even know who, and never have a reaction that you don't like, because you're a human. You might have many different things playing out. There can be traumas playing out in you that cause a response that is beyond your ability right now. So this like 100% responsibility, you always have to have a reaction that you expect, you want to have. It's possible for you. It's a very flat way of looking at it. It doesn't take under consideration that people are raised with programs, people experience traumas, and that people may not be capable of responding exactly the way they would like. So it has to be nuanced. It has to be, okay, I am aware now of my trauma. I have been working on it. I'm taking responsibility by going to therapy. So that is taking responsibility. It doesn't mean that you will never be afraid because of that trauma. It doesn't mean that you will always respond in the way you would like to, but you're still taking responsibility. You're going to therapy to work with your trauma, to become better in your responses. So just wanted to take it a little bit, you know, have a little bit of more nuanced take on this. What does it mean to have responsibility?
I totally agree. When you were actually talking, I realize, because just like with anything else, it's not just that you have a moment in your life when you discover what responsibility is and how to take it. It's my ability to respond. And then from there, you should have a 100% success rate. That's even like, it's illogical to expect that. So what I liked that you mentioned is the programs. We usually tend to reply to the situations or respond to the situations, especially when we are in a stressful situations that are stretching us. We usually jump into the one type of a response that we have to our program. And those programs, we can, you know, have a different show about this. You know, where do they come from? Is it from the family, the culture, the karma things? You know, what is it? Traumas? There is many, many things that influence the programs we have. So, for example, someone in a stressful situation with kids can scream at them. Other people can become, I don't know, detached, not talk, or have a pose or a voice, or try to bribe a kid. Whatever that is, you have a program. And it is impossible that with a moment when you realize, oh, I have an ability to respond. Now you will always have that ability to respond. Sometimes it's not going to be available to you because you are going to be deep in a program and you will be in a situation under stress. And I remember that was happening to me yesterday. I went with my girls to the cinema. One of them is 5, so she's still kind of a child that can just do things. For example, if she's tired, she will sit on a floor in a cinema and she will say, I'm tired, I need to sit down. And then you are like, oh, come on, we have to hurry or something. And I actually was able at that point observe that my Polish mother program is turning on. I wanted just to take her up and say, come on, we have to hurry, go. That's kind of like, I call it the Polish mother program, because I also realized with my older daughter, when we were in Poland, we were observing sometimes parents acting towards small kids. And Alexandra was kind of like shocked. Oh my God. Like, is this how parents in Poland respond? And it wasn't anything like they were beating their kids, but it was just very different than it is in Denmark, when in Denmark, parents tend to be very accommodating. And they try to integrate, for example, in public spaces, it's normal that the kids will play at the table and run around and parents will have them on their laps. In Poland, it's like, okay, we are in a restaurant, you sit, you don't move, you don't talk. And maybe the mobile will help with some, you know, kind of a video or something. So that's why I called it the Polish Mother Program, because I started to realize, oh my God, I feel this urgent automatic response of come on, let's go, kind of to take her, you know, just like carry her and stuff, instead of just like, okay, you need to rest, honey. And it took me that switch. It took me that effort to get out of that, to realize, okay, what's the purpose of us going out? Is to have fun. Is for all of us to have a nice memory. That was a special day. It was her first time in a cinema. Why would I want to make it like a boot camp? Let's go. This time. No, you don't rest. Don't sit. Stop complaining. Do this. Especially the weather was really kind of difficult. Yesterday it was super steamy. So I can see that. And if I wouldn't catch it, I would be running on that program. And yes, I still, what you just said, I was thinking about maybe two times at the beginning when I potentially reacted like this. And I was like, oh my God, why did I do that? Like, oh, I'm the worst. But again, it's really is kind of silly to beat yourself up for it. I guess that's also the baggage that comes with being too aware of all those things, you know, because then you can easily fall into another black hole. So that was just my 5 cents, 50 kronas, I don't know, 1 zloty. I don't know what other currencies I can provide to this conversation. Yeah.
Yeah, thank you, Anne. And I think, you know, specific examples can be helpful here. Mm-hmm. So I really appreciate. So responsibility in a personal context as ability to respond, as taking your power back, being empowered to get out of the victim mode and be able to respond on your own behalf in a situation. If not responded the way you would like, take responsibility for that. Take responsibility that things did not play out the way you would like them to play out. If there are programs, take responsibility by unprogramming, which can be a process, can take months or years. If mm-hmm. there are traumas, take responsibility for your traumas. So thank you for going into that, you know, a bit more nuanced take on responsibility. And I would like now to shift a little bit towards a broader context, still actually bringing the same conversation that we have had so far. I would like us to talk a little bit about responsibility in our relationship with communities or governments. I would say that that is one of potentially even more difficult area to mm-hmm. discuss. So I would like to bring it so that we can debunk it a little bit and we can mm-hmm. just simply talk about it. What does it mean for us right now, this kind of responsibility in a more social context? And perhaps you would care to open that conversation. How do you feel about your responsibility right now in that context?
We talked about this topic a little bit before recording, and I was actually thinking about it because I think that people are programmed, actually I would call it like this, programmed to feel relatively helpless in a system as such. So any type of system we will come up with, which could be a government, it can be a corporation, it can be a university. There are certain rules. There are authorities that have a power to tell you how things are going to roll out. And since we are little children, we are learned to respect those systems. And I think that the consequence of that is that we usually feel quite small in those systems. So if we feel that the system is unjust, we don't feel like we can do anything about this. So we either just go with the flow, or have that huge feeling of helplessness and being treated unjustly. But there is nothing I can do about this. So that was the first thing that came to my mind, that kind of programming that we are really, really small. Now, there is another thing, the second kind of aspect of this. I remember 5 years ago when shit started to hit the global universal fan and we started to go from one crisis to another. A lot of people, I believe, resign from having an actual individuated opinion about what is going on. And be it on any side, I'm not actually talking only about, you know, being pro or anti, you know, system. There are huge groups of people who are anti-system, and there is also a lot of people who are attaching to those groups, and they also do not have an individuated reflection over what is happening. So basically we give up our ability to respond and rely on something that is bigger than us. And I think especially in the situations where we are under a lot of pressure and stress and fear, that is relatively natural reaction to lean on something that seems to be a bit stronger or bigger than you. So that was the second layer of, or kind of angle of what I was thinking. The third one is what I am experiencing kind of right now. I have been actually preparing for something that is work related regarding trust. And I have yet again looked at the statistics regarding trusting authorities of different kinds, and that being, I don't know, governments again, social systems, healthcares, and so on. Those statistics are probably the lowest of the low. You know, people have decreasing as a general the trust towards those systems. Established systems is decreasing month by month because people do not trust them anymore. And yet, we don't really take the responsibility for ourselves in regards to, okay, so if the system is falling apart in front of my eyes, how am I going to build something for myself outside of the system? And no, I'm not talking about, you know, deserting your life and going into forest and building a hut and living there like a nomad. I mean more like, are there some ways where I can actually start to step out of the system a little bit in a daily life? Not to feel like, because if you see the system is falling apart and, you know, it can give you this feeling of gloom and doom, because you feel like if there is no system, regardless how bad or how dysfunctional it is, we are all gonna go down with it. When actually that's not really the case, you do have an ability to respond. You do have an ability to do things within your smaller community, your family unit. So when I talk with some people, but what are we supposed to do? There's nothing we're going to do. On one hand, you have a huge distrust into political system, and then you have people who are going and voting, even if they say, well, it doesn't matter anyway, because all of them are bad, but, you know, they are still have the program to vote. That's just an example. So those were the three different kind of angles I was thinking about this responsibility within kind of a social system. And there is also, you know what, actually I will leave you with that, and I will ask you if, first of all, this is what you expected from me, and second of all, if there is something you would like to follow up to, so we can dig deeper.
Yeah, I think that's a very, very, very good opening to this conversation. Mm-hmm. And it really is not easy conversation.
No.
And really has to be nuanced and taken with an open heart and an open mind. And I think it becomes very, very difficult if that time when, if you had a trust into a specific system, being that governmental system, being that corporation system that you are working for, and suddenly it stopped being congruent with your personal values, and you feel it within yourself that something is really, really off. And at the same time, there are programs being constantly sent out where it is being communicated on this sublime level, but there is nothing you can do about it as an individual. And especially in oppressive systems, which many systems during the pandemics have become very, very oppressive, with good PR, with better or worse PR, but in general, very, very harsh level of silencing people for whom what's going on in the world was feeling off, like people who were feeling there is something off in the response from the government, in the response from institutions. So people who felt it is not congruent with their values, it's really, really, you know, this gut feeling, your intuition just screaming at you, there is something off here. We are being told something, but what we get in our bodies, in our personal guidance system, they are not congruent. They are as far from congruent if possible. These people were really, really silenced, and it was done in a very manipulative way.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is very difficult, and still very difficult to talk about when bringing it up. So, okay, so what happens then? And let's say, okay, my first level is myself, my family, my closest friends. Maybe I cannot do that much alone. However, if I reach out a little bit outside of myself, maybe there are people around me who have similar feelings. And that can be difficult in of itself, because you might find that 80% of people do not have the same feelings like you, or they are afraid to even see that, you know, they will negate it or deny their own intuition for a while. And it might take a while to actually find people who are able to see through through manipulations from different types of institution who benefit, for example, from a crisis, right? And it might be extremely hard to take this responsibility to see, to take the responsibility to make your own research in the times of misinformation, in the times of where you find all possible versions of the same story. To be able to find what is actually true is so hard now. It's really, really hard. So taking responsibility in making your own research and defining what is actually true, what are the credible sources of information, and finding people around yourself who might share your feelings, your intuition, your wisdom, because I really don't want to call it only feelings, because feelings can take us back and front and up and down, right? So I really want to take it further than feelings. I want to take it up to intuition. I want to take it up to wisdom. And really, really important for me, intuition can also tell you, you really got to do your research. Intuition is not only a gut feeling and, higher self told me it's not true what they are saying. Your intuition might tell you, you don't know. You do your job, you know, you sit down and find out, you talk to people, you ask questions and so on. That's also intuition, just to make it very, very clear how I perceive intuition. So, yeah, maybe you yourself as one individual have limited impact. However, However, I believe that, Anna, you often say that, yes, it's very courageous or brave to be that first one. And if you stand up and you say something, you might have very severe consequences. That's a very high risk. And there might be a second person that stands up too. As soon as two people stand up, there is much higher chance for the third, fourth, fifth person to stand up too. So basically, alone, you can do something, might be limited, reaching out to your closest circle, calling upon people who might have similar concerns, similar calling for an action, and taking it to the next level where together you are trying to impact your local community and then going up for a governmental or whatever that community could be, regional, whatever that is. That's how things change in the world. The governments,
absolutely,
or no, I don't want to call it governments. The people who benefit from a specific system running, who benefit from it, rarely change from their own conscious awakening.
Correct.
Usually, it has happened in history as well. It has happened in history as well. It's a rare mm-hmm. Awakening. I would call it this way. Usually the change happens by individuals like you and me talking to their neighbors, talking to their friends, coming together, creating something on a community/town level, taking it further with neighboring towns and so on, and creating that change happening in the broader area. So that would be my response.
Yeah, and I think it's very much on point. I was even thinking when you, first of all, one thing that came to my mind when we were talking about the systems and how scary it became to have a different opinion than the main agreed mainstream narrative that you see, let's say, in a maybe governmental releases. And I cannot believe I'm saying this, but 5 years since 2020 and here we are. It is actually sometimes scary to express that you might have doubts, reasonable doubts. But it reminded me also of a movie Matrix, which has this small little kind of angle where we of course see, you know, the Neo and the Morpheus fighting with Agent Smith and the system. But there is an additional kind of angle or layer. Everyone who is in a system and is not awakened is gonna work against you without even realizing, or it's just the program that they have. They are going to protect the Matrix unless they will get awakened themselves. And I think that what we can also see in the real life, many people are still feeling this compelled urge to defend the system that is falling apart in front of their own eyes. And I think some of the reasons for that are definitely, you know, I want to feel safe. I want to feel safe because the system is taking responsibility for me. It helps me to live. Like, people cannot imagine certain things. For example, if healthcare is being closed tomorrow, where am I gonna go? Where is the doctor? How to, you know, help myself, heal myself? People don't have to think about it on a daily basis. They just pick up a phone call and in this times, trying to get an appointment within 6 weeks. But that also gives you already some sort of information about how things are working at this point. Or I don't know if the schools or if you see anything, any group of people going on strike, you suddenly things are paralyzed. You don't really have this natural plan for what if I have to take the responsibility for myself, right? And that can be a very scary world. We are raised in a world when we can rely on systems, on kind of authorities. That's how we were brought. That's how we were raised. And that's what we know. So trying to take a responsibility for yourself can be scary because other people might not be there yet, and they might not even understand what the hell are you doing and why are you doing this. You know, this is our system. It works and you should not go against it. So that was one thing I was thinking about when you were describing that. And I think that what you also mentioned is this thing about, you know, trying to reach out to people. And it doesn't have to be something like, hey, I don't trust the government. It can be as easy as that. Let's give an example from the country we are in. We got letters, mails, whatever, from the government that everyone here in this country should be prepared for a 3 days, let's say, I don't know because I haven't read it, my daughter read it, 3 days with no electricity due to maybe some disturbance or maybe some attack or whatever. And people are instructed to have this and this amount of water in the house and food and stuff. And it's good that something like this came out. But you can actually go a step further instead of thinking, okay, so yeah, I did what they told me and now they are going to save me. You can also take this responsibility for how this will look like. Go and talk to your neighbor. Go and talk to another neighbor. Maybe create a kind of a group where you agree, okay, if things are going bad, how can we together help each other? That could be taking a responsibility for yourself and your closest surroundings without trying to rely too much on the system. It actually is very empowering because you have the parallel plan on how you would act in this situation. But I did not notice that happening on a big scale, at least here yet, although we personally are planning to have a chat with our neighbors very, very soon this week. Just to open the topic, you know, or even to say, hey, we are here, you know, if you need something, we are here. Instead of waiting for the 3 days to magically pass, if that ever is going to happen, by the way, because, you know, we don't even know why exactly that correspondence was sent. But just to even, you know, not to rely that, you know, if something happens after 3 days, some people I never met somewhere on the top of the, you know, the ladder here in this country are going to save me and fix things. I don't know if that makes much sense for you, Marta.
Yeah, I think that's a very good example and good that you are bringing it up so that it doesn't sound like we are talking about taking political action necessarily.
No.
And interestingly enough, that was also included in that letter. There was an encouragement to talk to your families, talk to your neighbors, how to respond in such a crisis situation.
You read it?
I read it, yes.
Okay.
So what I wanted to bring as an example is, and also another thing that can feel very disempowering, there are so many areas that don't work. You know, there are so many areas, like you mentioned, We are dependent on the system, for example, in terms of doctors. And suddenly within the last few years, our ability to access the doctor has diminished significantly. The queues are much longer. And even in situations that in the past used to work in this country, for example, in relation to severe disease such as cancer, you would have an amazing treatment. You would really mm-hmm. have access to the doctor within a week. You would be met with great healthcare. Right now, people are waiting for months. So these systems are failing. Let's call it this way, you know. And so it could be related to the healthcare system. It could be related to the educational system. We are finding out, reading that children are misthriving. Everyone in five children is misthriving in schools. So there is something off with the educational system. Then we have the whole area of environment. We have the whole area of social injustice based on your skin color, based on your sexual preferences, based on your gender, and so on. We can go into so many different areas that as a human, you can feel very disempowered. Like, I what do I do here? It feels mm-hmm. like everything is failing, you know, like mm-hmm. how do I find myself in it? And additionally, there is a crisis. Maybe a war is coming, maybe a flooding is coming, or maybe a cyber attack that will take away my, you know, electricity. You can choose, you know, and it can really, really disempower you as an individual. So I would say, first of all, you know, find that one area that really moves your heart. You know, I would say, ask yourself that question, what breaks my heart and what makes my heart sing? If it is animals, maybe that's the area where you can take action. If this is mothers, maybe that's the area where you can take action, you know. But I think for every one of us, we are feeling often so disempowered. We are feeling so disconnected. We are feeling so often depressed, disassociated, and so on. I really feel as humans, we need that kind of connection. And we need to feel that we are doing something good for people around us, for communities. So sometimes it is just searching within yourself, which is that area that actually really moves my heart. You probably shouldn't, you know, engage yourself in 50 different areas because you are not going to make a difference in 50 different areas, right? So mm-hmm. it doesn't have to be huge. You don't have to do it alone. You can look for an organization that is already working in your area, because often we also think like, I'm the one who has to organize everything, you know. No, very likely there is already an organization that is working with that. So if you don't have a leadership call, but you would like to make a difference, look for something already existing in your area where you can engage yourself and have that kind of taking up that social responsibility. It really, really does not have to be something huge. It really does not have to be led by you. And unless you feel that clear calling, which is fantastic, if you are feeling that calling, it will just make you feel so much better if you do take that action instead of talking yourself out. It doesn't make any sense. So many things are not working. I don't have the energy. I'm already too tired from my normal life. So that would be my take into like how to take that kind of level of social responsibility and responsibility in bigger aspect than just yourself, but also responsibility for what is happening in the world so that you can contribute positively into a positive change in the world.
Yeah, I totally agree with everything you said. I was just also thinking about that topic, I would just like to share it to everyone who listens. It is scary to take responsibility for yourself and your life, and that's okay. It is okay to feel scared. It is okay to feel fear, and that's actually quite normal. If you wouldn't, then maybe that would be actually the weird part. It is scary. But I believe that we were all placed, sent, born here not to just mindlessly follow life through motions. We were here actually to steer our life in a certain direction, and maybe taking responsibility is one of the biggest lessons that we as humans, as individuated humans, have to go through in this lifetime. And the second thing, what you, Marta, mentioned, if you start to take responsibility in one area of your life, if you don't feel like you can still yet take responsibility, maybe on this individuated level, or maybe, challenging even in your own head, the systems scares you. Taking actually a part in something that contribute to social harmony, volunteering, it will give you a bit of empowerment, because responsibility grows. It's like a muscle that you train. If you take it in one area, you will feel more confident to start to take more responsibility in the other area of your existence here. So I think this was actually a brilliant advice to engage yourself in something that, you know, even taking responsibility for a piece of plants in your garden, or even if you don't have a garden, you know, planting, taking responsibility, building something, not feeling so, you know, just moved by motions of life. Nothing depends on me. Trying to take that responsibility for something that resonates with you could be a fantastic first step to build the muscle of ability to respond.
And I think, Anna, it's a fantastic summary, a fantastic summary for this episode and bringing it all together. So thank you for that. And dear listener, if you would like to get in contact with us and broaden, make this topic more nuanced, add to this topic, please write us an email on womenscircleinstitute@gmail.com. And we would love to hear from you so that we can keep on having those discussions wiser, deeper, better, and more empowering.
Correct. I wanted to say correcto.
And correcto.
Like, what language is that? Correcto.
Anna, any final notes for closing that episode?
No, I guess my correcto will hunt me now for the next. I will take responsibility for the correcto. It was unnecessary. Don't cut it out. I need to have it as a reminder of me taking responsibility for a weird things I say on this podcast. Correcto?
Correcto. All right, everyone. Thank you so much and have a lovely day.
Yeah, you will hear us next time.
Bye.